Welcome to church. For those of you online, so good to have you here as we share together today. What an incredible worship. Amen? Amen. Awesome today. We've got a really special time. I'm going to ask you to be seated. I'd like to ask those that are part of the commissioning leadership to come on up on the stage. Pastor Russell, if you'll join us on the, he's already here, right here. We're going to commission you in to this place. It's going to be exciting. You'll see the names of these folks on the screen and some of their representation in the life of this congregation. And what they're going to share together, if you've never been a part of a commissioning service, what they're going to be sharing is what the scriptures command for leadership in the life of the church. So our congregational council chair will lead us off. Karen, thank you. Thank you for leading us and welcoming us in today.
Today is a day filled of celebration, of joy, excitement, and anticipation. On June 8th, upon a prayerful and unanimous recommendation from the pastoral search team and the congregational council, this congregation voted overwhelmingly to accept Pastor Russell Cushman as our next lead pastor of Christ the King Church. I have the privilege, as your congregational church council chair, to present him to you and to share in his commissioning today. I want to personally welcome each one of you, our new guests, as well as other pastors and leaders in this community who have come to share in this celebration with us. Thank you for making this day even more special. Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness and your blessing today. We thank you for the gift of Jesus and the salvation that he paid for us on his sacrifice on the cross. We praise you for the great commission that you have given to your church, that all may come to know you and be saved. Today, we give thanks that you have raised up Pastor Russell as a pastor and a leader of this church. We thank you for his family, for Kelly and for Jack. We praise you that your Holy Spirit has placed the pastoral call upon Pastor Russell's heart, raised him up to pastor, to lead, and to guide your church. Today, we confirm his call to Christ the King Church through the guidance of your Holy Spirit. May this calling and our partnership in the gospel give you glory, extend your church, and empower your people. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
For your spiritual care and shepherding the flock entrusted to you. Hebrews 13:7. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Acts 20:28. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you the overseer, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood.
For the Holy Spirit's guidance as you share God's word and lead his ministry, Acts chapter 4, verse 31 says, "And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness."
For the holy living modeling the godly life, rejecting sin and embracing a new life in Christ. Romans 8:13 says, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. For Spirit himself bears within with our spirits that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him.
For the rejection of darkness and living into God's transformative power, Galatians 3, 5 through 10. The word of the Lord says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming, and these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put all the oneself with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Amen.
My friend, remember the qualifications for ministry that Paul shared with Timothy and is written in Titus 1. 1 Timothy says that the saying is trustworthy that if anyone aspires to the office of overseer, that he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but being gentle, not quarrelsome, and not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how is he going to take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he would become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of, as you are for outsiders, so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. For an overseer, as God's steward, must be above reproach, must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or a drunkard or violent or greedy for gain, but hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word of God as taught, so that he would be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it.
To affirm your role as lead pastor of Christ the King Church, please answer the following with, I do, and I ask God to help me. Do you believe that the call of this congregation to serve and lead is a call from God himself?
I do, and I ask God to help me.
Do you believe that the Old and New Testaments are the infallible word of God and the norm and practice for the faithful Christian life?
I do, and I ask God to help me.
Do you subscribe to the biblical doctrinal standards practiced in this community of believers, rejecting all teachings that contradict them?
I do, and I ask God to help me.
Do you promise to do the work of your office faithfully in a way worthy of your calling and of submission to the Lord Jesus, the vision and mission of this church and its congregation council?
I do, and I ask God to help me.
Do you believe Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and through him alone is the pathway to salvation and eternal life?
I do, and I ask God to help me.
Will you be diligent in your study of the Holy Scripture and proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, upholding the witness of the Holy Scripture against all schisms and heresies?
I do, and I ask God to help me.
Will you oversee and administer God's means of grace through the sacraments of holy baptism and the Lord's Supper, and pray for God's people to live in faith and holiness?
I do, and I ask God to help me.
Will you strive to fulfill faithfully, diligently, and cheerfully the duties of your calling and in the work to which you are being commissioned, following our Lord's example of humble service?
I do, and I ask God to help me.
We live by example as a faithful steward of God's resources to you and model the Great Commission given to His church.
I do, and I ask God to help me.
Do you confess, together with us and the church throughout all the ages, your faith in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
I do, and I ask God to help me.
Let us all stand and join with me and Pastor Russell, Pastor Craig, in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come again to judge living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of body, and a life everlasting.
So now, congregation of Christ the King, will you receive in the name of the Lord Jesus, Pastor Russell Cushman, as Christ's servant and our next lead pastor? If so, answer boldly, we do.
We do.
Do you promise to honor his authority and welcome his service as a representative of Jesus Christ? Then answer boldly, we do.
We do.
Do you promise to encourage and pray for him as we labor together for the Great Commission of the church, its spiritual health, and its impact locally and around the world? Then answer boldly, we do.
We do.
I now declare that Pastor Russell Cushman is duly commissioned to serve as lead pastor at Christ the King Church. Thanks be to God.
Congratulations. Enjoy this hat. More to say on that in just a moment. On behalf of this congregation, when people join this church, they receive one of these beautiful crosses that's handmade by people in this congregation. This one was handmade especially for you on your day of commission, August 10th, 2025. You're officially not only lead pastor, but a member of Christ the King Church. We welcome you. Amen. I'd like to ask you to remain standing. I would like to ask the prayer partners if you would come up. And we invite all of you to share in this time of laying on of hands in prayer. What does that look like? What it looks like is we simply ask you to hold your hands out like you're laying hands on him for prayer. We know that through the Bible it says that the prayers of the faithful are powerful and they are effective. Today we call on the Holy Spirit through the power of prayer to be a part of Pastor Russell's life and the leadership of this congregation. Prayer partners will join around council, staff, others, if you would join around in the wider circle and join in that. Kelly, welcome here. This is not only a call to Pastor Russell. I've always believed, as I have with my wife, Marilyn, that a call is to the family, and that support of family is powerful and effective. There'll be nights he'll come home a little beat up, and you'll be there to comfort and care. There'll be days in which he'll build you up because it'll be tough and hard as you lead. But we walk with you, we care for you, our prayers are with you, and we love you as a family and little Jack as well as we pray over you today. So let's pray. May every grace of ministry rest upon Pastor Russell. Keep him strong and faithful. May he proclaim the joy of your kingdom. And we thank you for his goodness. May God, our Heavenly Father, who has called you to this office, guide you by his word, equip you with his Holy Spirit, and prosper your ministry. that the church may grow and his name be glorified in the name of Christ. May you walk with him and this family throughout the days of their ministry in this place. May your Holy Spirit lift up their arms and their hearts and their souls to find comfort in you, find leadership in you, find boldness in you. And Father, may their house shine as they seek to live for you. We love you, but we know we can never love you as much as you've already loved us through Jesus Christ on the cross. So under your grace and your power and your love today, we pray over this man that you've led to this place at Christ the King.
Great is thy faithfulness. We sang that today, Lord. It is so true. From the beginning of time, with a word, all came into existence. Lord, with one act of love, we were redeemed. So today is about you, Lord. Today is all about what you have proclaimed from the beginning of time. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to participate. Lord, we thank you today for Russell, Pastor Russell, Lord, who is one of your servants, Lord. We pray for strength, Lord, in those hard days. We pray for the jubilation of those good days. Lord, we ask that you be with this church, Lord, as we move on to what you have called us to be from the very beginning, your bride. Lord, we ask for the many things that you want, because we know as a good father, who will not give us the things that we need. Lord, you are here in this place. We invite you here in this place. Lord, not when the music is playing. Lord, not when we're feeling good, but at all times. We pray for this moment, Lord, to continue, Lord, not with the emotions, but with our act of love. Lord, we love you because you first loved us. Lord, we thank you so much for the leadership that you've given us to this point and for the leadership that you'll continue to give us. We pray for strength as we need to be obedient, Lord, to your head. Even when our flesh doesn't want to do what is called to be done, Lord, we pray for the strength to be obedient. Lord, we thank you for all that you have already called us to be. We trust you, Lord, with all that you have called us to be. Lord, we anxiously wait to see how the world changes as you are faithful. We trust you because we know that we can. You've proven it time and time again. So, Lord, today we praise you. Today we thank you. Today we honor and magnify you. And, Lord, today we entrust Pastor Russell to you. Amen.
Lord, we ask for strength and wisdom for Russell as he moves into this position and becomes our lead pastor here at Christ the King. Be with us, help him, and guide him also, and be there for him. Be with Kelly, help her and guide her, give her the strength to support him. Thank you, Lord, for this day, this celebration. Be with us all.
Lord, we thank you for this day. We know that this has been the desire of Russell's heart, but only with your timing, with your grace. I thank you for the family of Christ the King, for them embracing this family with such love and kindness. Lord, we know you're faithful. We know that you have Russell and Kelly and Jack in the palm of your hand. We pray for divine guidance. We pray for health, healing for this family. We pray for that you launch them on this journey, and that you hold them tight in the palm of your hand. In Jesus' name we pray.
Fill Pastor Russell with your grace. Preserve your church in harmony and mission to extend your reign in justice and peace. Help Pastor Russell to lead and teach through example, that others may come to live for you. Grant him wisdom and discernment to hear your Holy Spirit and to guide your people in truth. In your holy name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's join together in our prayer. Lord Jesus taught us to pray. And applause is always good. Let's pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Pastor Russell, you are in. And we love you. We can't wait. All right. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you.
Pastor Russell, this congregation is not the only ones that are welcoming you here today. There's a few others, and I just want to share a few. One is from Pastor Todd Zielinski, also part of our association. You may have met him, and you will meet him as a part of credentialing, as a part of the organization. He writes this: on behalf of the faithful followers of Christ Jesus at Well of Hope, welcome to Charlotte. You and your wife are in our prayers as you begin your ministry and serve as lead pastor of Christ the King Church. CTK has been a wonderful worshiping community for people in the Steel Creek and broader Charlotte area for 30 plus years. The Holy Spirit has used its faithful ministries to reach out and share the gospel, inviting people who've never heard to come and see, equipping them to live and share in faith, hope, and love with Jesus, and cultivating this community that seeks to live life together in the body of Christ. As you likely know, my wife Tracy has served as CTK preschool director for 19 years. If you don't know her yet, you will. That ministry, along with others, is part of our journey of faith, prayer, and life together. And I hope that connection will present some personal possibilities for relationship building with her. We look forward to discovering how the Holy Spirit might join together in a shared ministry over the coming years. I pray that God will fill your heart, your home with great joy, hopeful expectation, and faith-filled vision as you discover together in height, depth, breadth, and width how much our Lord Jesus loves you and this church. Until we meet again, Pastor Todd Zielinski. Also shared by Pastor Ed Thomas. He's also on the council of the Association of Lutheran Congregation and Mission for Christ. He writes this to you: Dear Pastor Russell, we at Spirit of Joy are delighted to hear your call to Christ the King. I've known CTK since its infancy, worshiping with this joyful new congregation in their startup days in the school gymnasium. With CTK being a creative ministry leader in our Carolinas region, I and many of our members who have attended frequent meetings and conferences and wonderfully hosted by your congregation, we have worked side by side with your pastors and leaders on events like Via de Cristo and Tech Retreats. Our congregations happily share some pieces of missional discipling in creating DNA. For decades, Christ the King has been well led, and those we've talked to about your arrival have been excited for a new and faithful season of continued fine and faithful leadership. Welcome to our local sphere of Lutheran congregations and serving the gospel of Jesus Christ. We look forward to a new season of partnership under one banner of Christ alone. And this is from Julie Smith, who is a service coordinator for the entire denomination. She would be like the bishop of that denomination. She writes this to you: Dear Russell, blessings on your new call at Christ the King to share in the ministry of the gospel is a great privilege. There's nothing quite like the way a congregation entrusts in its pastor the care of their souls. To walk with God's people through all that life brings, to deliver a word of hope, and a promise in the darkest moments of their lives, a word of thanksgiving in times of celebration, a word of direction when life gets off track. That's a sacred trust. In your role as lead pastor, you will add to that call to the care of the staff of Christ the King and keep the congregation focused on his mission. None of this work you do is on your own. You are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses that is the whole Christian church on earth and in heaven. More specifically, you're surrounded by your brothers and sisters in LCMC who stand ready to be good colleagues and neighbors to your calling. I encourage you to lean on these brothers and sisters in faith as Christ's witnesses and messengers to you. The pastor needs a pastor. Far from being a sign of weakness, it is the heart of our faith to recognize that we need word delivered to us just as much as anyone else does. God's richest blessings upon your work in and with the people of Christ the King. How beautiful are those who bring the good news. Amen. But they're not the only ones. For many of you already know we have mission in a lot of places. You met Pastor Frank earlier. Where's Pastor Frank at? And his lovely family right here. Puerto Nuevo Church started with Pastor Don Maurice out of Guatemala. Years and years ago now, Pastor Frank leads that Puerto Nuevo Church as a sister church out of this congregation. But there are other sister churches. One is in Slovakia, and they have a word for you today. If you turn around and look at the screen. This is Pastor Yancy.
Hello, Pastor Russell. Greetings from Slovakia, Central Europe. I'm Pastor Yancy, and I just wanted to give you a warm welcome as you step into this new role as a pastor of this truly blessed and special community, CTK Church. Although we never met in person, I have been partnering with Pastor Craig, and I truly value our friendship and the partnership we develop with Pastor Craig and also with the church. And I look forward to meeting you and finding out how we can broaden and deepen this cooperation. And today we celebrate with you, we pray for you, we pray for your wisdom and the joy that you would have in this ministry. Blessings to you and the whole CDK.
Amen. And also, Pastor Eric is in Burundi, Africa. You may have met him. Hopefully you will. They just joined the association in the United States as a congregation with us, with LCMC. And he and some of his leadership team and his wife have a word for you today as well. Pastor Eric.
Hello, CTK. This is lead team from Burundi Grace Community Church. We want to congratulate Pastor Russell Cushman. Thank you for accepting the call. Thank you for coming in the office. We want to congratulate you and congratulate CTK for the new lead pastor. God bless you. We wish you the best, and we are expecting you in Africa as soon as possible. God bless you. This is from Africa with Pastor Eric and the lead team. God bless you. Hello, CTK.
And last but not least, our longest ministry is in Guatemala with two organizations, the Casa Bernabe Orphanage and the nonprofit developed there, and another nonprofit and church were planted in Chimaltenango. Pastor Erica Chajon, her sister, is actually a part of this congregation. Where's Don Maurice at? I'm sorry, earlier she may be helping with kids. There she is over here. Her sister Don Maurice and her family here at CTK. She planted what was Cristel Rey here, and now it's Puerto Nuevo Church. And this is her sister with Christ the King Church, Cristel Rey, in Guatemala. She has a word for you. If you know Spanish, you'll know what she's saying.
Desde la iglesia Cristo Rey en Guatemala, queremos darle la bienvenida a usted, Pastor Russell, por el llamado precioso que el Señor le ha dado a la obra. Nos gozamos en el Señor por lo que Dios está haciendo en su vida y en la iglesia CTK allá en Carolina del Norte. De verdad, nos alegramos juntamente con la iglesia por este tiempo que el Señor lo ha traído, ¿verdad? Y oramos y creemos por la fe que el que lo llamó lo sostendrá. Así que desde Guatemala, le damos la bienvenida y a toda la iglesia, que el Señor sea con ustedes. Amén.
So I was informed you don't speak Spanish. so I'm going to translate from Pastor Erica. So from Cristo El Rey in Guatemala, we want to welcome you, Pastor Russell, for the precious call that God has given you and the work. We're excited for what the Lord is doing in your life in CTK Church there in North Carolina. Truly, we are excited with the church in this time as God has brought you. We pray and believe in faith that he who has called us will sustain us. From Guatemala, we welcome you, and on behalf of the whole church, may God be with you. Amen.
Amen. I tell you, you'll never feel more loved than when you walk in on that campus in Cristo Rey, Guatemala. And those kids start hugging you and holding onto your legs. Oof, nothing like it. Nothing like it. We know, Pastor Russell, we celebrate today, much to celebrate. Excited for your time, excited for your precious family that's going to be a part of this larger family of the body of Christ. And you can see even the larger family in four continents around the world. God is doing incredible things. I'm excited to be able to serve under your lead. I've already changed my name on my return emails to founding pastor because it can only be one lead. All right? So if you look on there, it's already shifted. So it's exciting to be able to serve under your care. You have an amazing staff. Pastor Kyle, Pastor Jason, Sarah and Michelle, Simone and Susie, Lee and Natalia, an incredible preschool staff and team. Love them well. Serve them well. They're so dedicated with a heart for the Lord, serving in the right character and for the right reason. As you can see, and this is just part of them, many, many more online, you have an amazing congregation. One of those generous congregations I've ever met with missions that are worldwide that pour themselves out constantly, serving the Lord in generosity and faithfulness and serving. They're under your care and under your humbleness under the Lord Jesus. Care for them and love them well. You know, the Bible, as we heard earlier, says that the office of pastor is a noble calling. We kind of like that part, don't we? Nobility. How wonderful it feels. But the other part that the Bible talks about of that noble calling is the weight of it. And you will feel the weight of it. The Bible says that you're judged more critically by the Lord Jesus because of your ability to lead people to Jesus or lead them away. That's a weight that's part of the calling of pastor, leader, church. You also feel some weight among the people. You'll be judged more critically. It's simply the fact. People will look to you for your character, for your integrity, to be an example of stewardship, to be an example of service and calling. They'll be watching your family and your relationships and patience that's a part of that. I always looked at it as part of, it keeps me honest, humble, and accountable. That's a part of the mission and the calling. Paul writes to his protege Timothy, young pastor who's coming into ministry, says this, 2 Timothy chapter 4. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. In essence, there's never a bad time to preach the word, right? Amen. And he goes on to say, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience in teaching. I have yet to find anybody who loves to be rebuked. Maybe that's why he says, with complete patience in the midst of it. But there are times that we as God's people get off track. And we need someone who's on track to speak truth into our lives, or we'll get off the rails. And Paul's bold in talking to Timothy about that. There'll be those tough conversations. It's a part of the weight of the office in order to the alignment of the mission and our calling in Christ. He goes on to say in verse 3, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. Boy, we see that in our world. And every one of us fall victim to this cultural movement in which it just begins to consume us a little at a time, and all of a sudden we find ourselves being more world followers than Jesus followers. There's always that need of rebuke, to come back, to listen, to hear, and to walk toward Jesus. Now, he kind of closes that section with this. As for you, be sober-minded. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your calling. I always found that part interesting, because if the pastor crashes, so does the church. Right? Really critical. Be sober-minded, which means the world is hitting us all, and we're going to find times when we fall off track. But if we as pastors fall off track, then no one's got an anchor to hold to, because we got no one that's holding to Jesus. Sober-mindedness means that the office of pastor is one that stays remaining as a place by which it keeps all the cultural things at bay and the ways of Christ in the forefront. That sober-mindedness constantly. Now, how does that happen? It's not easy. It happens because you remain humble under the Lord Jesus. You remain in the Scriptures daily, humble under the Lord Jesus in prayer. Being surrounded by accountable leaders, as she shared with LCMC, the need to hold us in a place of rising above and being sober-minded in what we're leading. In fact, Paul writes in Corinthians, and I love this passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says, "And when I came to you, brothers, I did not come to you proclaiming to you a testimony of God with a lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." For if any of you know who Paul was, you would not have stumped him in biblical trivia. He was an extremely intelligent man. He was a Pharisee. He knew everything about the Bible. And yet he says, "I'm going to know nothing among you except Jesus." That's humility, isn't it? We know you come in here. You went through the interview. I got to listen behind the scenes. We know you know a lot. But what we need you to know is Jesus Christ crucified. And what we need to know is Jesus Christ crucified. Because all of us can read the Bible, and reading the Bible doesn't help us know Jesus. It helps us know about Jesus. To know Jesus means we've walked with Him, and that's what Paul experienced on the road. To know Jesus means that we have sacrificed our resources and had to trust God with the resources He gives. To know Jesus means that we have trusted Him with our service. When we got a lot of things we need to do for us, we're doing it first for Jesus, because He provides everything else. To know Jesus is to follow Him in faithfulness when it's really hard. We need to know that. We all need to know what it is to know Jesus, not just about Him. And I think it's what Paul said, "I want you just to know Jesus Christ and Him crucified." We're all in danger of times of slipping. We're all in danger, you and me alike, of falling away from the truth. We're all in danger of having itching ears and accumulating for ourselves the direction we want to go. Believe me, I don't know how many conversations I've had over the years, me and everybody else, that we'll figure out. But you stay sober-minded. Our charge is to chase Jesus. Our charge is not to pursue our greatness, but to magnify Christ through the ministry of the good news of Christ. Jesus is the eternal constant. He's the rock. I think for you as a church, it's important for us to pause like this from time to time and just remember why leadership's important. All throughout the Bible, God raised up leaders. In the Old Testament, judges and kings and prophets. New Testament is Jesus and the apostles. And the apostles gathered other leaders who led the church and the likewise, all the way down to the point we're leading here today. Why is that? Because all of us are leaders to somebody, and all of us have been led. But the Bible says we're like sheep, and sheep wander. Sheep need a corral. They need leaders, one, to point them in a common direction. Nothing ever gets accomplished in God's kingdom if we're all going in opposite directions. We have one mission. And the role of the pastor is to lead the vision and mission forward together. We also have a tendency to have itching ears. It takes a pastor to help bring the sheep back, to speak counsel, and to help us walk in truth. Leadership's important, and that's why we spend time and we commission and we pray and we ask that you constantly pray for this man and for his family and for this staff. It's not an easy job, not a glamorous job. It's a calling. It's a calling that comes under the Lord Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul writes, "These are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ." Hear that? That's why leaders exist. We want everybody to be equipped. See, God puts you on earth for a reason. Every one of you in the room, you are not an accident. You are God's calling. And the role of the church, the body of Christ, and leadership is to help you be everything God wants you to be on earth before you get to heaven. He's got a work to do. It's our mission field. He says in verse 13, "This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we'll be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ." I don't think this is going to be over anytime soon. It says, "Then we'll no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown around by every word of new teaching. We'll not be influenced when people try to trick us with their lies so clever they sound like truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. And each part does its own special work, all of us, for it helps each part grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love." Isn't that a picture of the church? That's all of us together. That's not just on Russell. It's on all of us. We all own it, and we're all a part of it. So the end all of leadership, just a few things. They're in your notes as well. To equip every believer to fulfill their God calling on earth. Hold that. Let's be that. To bring unity among believers toward God's design and his will for his church. Unity is essential for pastoral leadership. To grow knowledge and maturity in following the example of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, go make disciples, not just converts. That's maturity. To plant everyone solidly anchored in Christ against shifting values and beliefs. It's a very real need. And to present the church to the world as healthy, life-giving, and full of love. My prayer is when we leave here on a Sunday morning, we go out in the community, people meet us and they say, I want what that person's got. So Pastor Russell, what do you have to say for us? On your very first day, what is our commission? You're up. Is your mic on, Luchek?
Way, there we go. We're off to a great start, right, folks? If you will you join me in just thanking Pastor Craig? I don't want us just to think about the words he just said, but the 33 years of legacy, not for his name, but for the name of Christ. And it isn't a glamorous job, and he was doing it long before it was cool. Just kidding, it was never cool. And I am just humbled and grateful to be here and to see the spiritual father that you've been to so many people here, and that now you would be in that role to me is humbling and a blessing. And we thank you, founder. We thank you. I could preach for hours. I've been waiting for this for roughly 40 years. But I'm not gonna do that. I think you already heard a good message if you had ears to hear it. Instead, I'm gonna tell you just a few important things so you can come to know me, but more importantly, perhaps know Jesus better. And the first thing I wanna say is thank you to the many people who are here. My family is here, my mother and father-in-law, which are essentially my mother and father. My grandparents are here, Marg and Gary Gunderson. I'm a grown man. I refuse to call you Nana and Papa in public. Craig and Carolyn, Kendall and Kevin, who came all the way from Tennessee and have a toddler that really wants to run around. She's been wrestling her the whole time. I've been watching, so that's why I was laughing up here. Now you know, sorry, that's for free. Extended family, you have meant more to me than words can say. But then there's also the family of Christ Jesus that I can honestly say saved my life. My first pastor is in this room right now with his wife, who wasn't just my first pastor, he was also my foster parent. Friends that have seen me at my lowest and at my origin have expressed to me the grace of Christ Jesus, because the grace of Christ Jesus was in them, working in them. So when we talk about growth and we talk about the power of Jesus, we do so knowing that the power of Jesus through the Holy Spirit lives in each and every one of you. I am here standing, being commissioned against all odds, because of the work of God and God alone in and through me. And that would not have happened if not for the work of God in and through you. I would have never seen Jesus. See, just so you know, our maturation in our faith, our growth in our faith, it is not just for us. It is for the contagious power of the gospel to be transmitted to person to person. And I've had the great honor and privilege in my relatively short life to get to pass the gospel on, but only because it was passed to me. See, I come from the wrong side of the tracks. There's a sign in everything. It is not a place that you grow up and aspire to do anything, really. My origin is the type of beginning that guarantees prison, maybe addiction, and probably an early grave. According to the statistics of my origin and of my family, I should not believe in Christ. I should not hold a degree. I should not be standing here with you. I'm just a mixed up and mixed kid from the wrong side of the tracks, surrounded by addiction and despair, abuse and neglect. This isn't hyperbole. The people I came up with, some of which I have buried, but because of the grace of God expressed through his church and his people, I'm here. Which means my expectation for the people of the church is rather high. Because as much as the gospel saves, your obedience to the word of God saves. There is somewhere a mixed up kid on the wrong side of the tracks in Steel Creek who's desperate to meet one of you. desperate like I was desperate. And I am humbled to be here because I know it is only through the work of God in his people that it spreads. If you would, I'd like you to turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. And I promise I will be brief. There are kids waiting to get back to you. And it's my first week. I can't go long. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 is where we'll begin. And I'll jump right in. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us to his glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. It's a mouthful. But the end result of it all is that it's through our knowledge of Christ that we partake of the divine nature, meaning that we carry the imago Dei, the image of God, and we are recognized as image bearers only when we live according to the following. For this very reason, in verse 5, it says to make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and with knowledge self-control, and with self-control steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. These are the things that we add to faith. These are the things that cultivate in our lives, make them have value to the rest of our community, and transform communities as surely as the presence of God has transformed us. And if we have them, there is great news. The very next verse. But if we do not, it doesn't look good. In verse 8, it says, for if these qualities are yours and increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful. Let's pause right there. I am terrified of a church that knows Jesus but is ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That ineffectiveness happens when we hear the word and do not act. It happens when we close off our hearts for the love that we have to our neighbor. It happens when we overlook mixed up kids from the wrong side of the tracks. I am so overwhelmed by the grace of God, and I know you are too, church family. So let us make sure that his grace is so abundant in our lives through the growth of our knowledge of Christ that it is unmistakable that there's a God that we serve and he restores every broken thing. If we're growing, as Peter advises us, we find ourselves effective and fruitful. If we don't, then we see a church losing influence, losing impact. A church that's just a tradition is just a building waiting to close. But a church that brings the gospel to a community, that feeds the hungry, both physically and spiritually, that meets needs, that fights the epidemic of mental health struggles, that addresses the fact that we live in a hurting nation, not with political rhetoric, but with the gospel and the power of Christ crucified for each broken person out there. Then and only then do we see the church truly victorious and triumphant. That's what I can get down with. That's what I'm about. But more importantly, that's what this place is about. It has been for 33 years, and it will continue to be. In verse 10, there's a challenge that Peter gives his audience. He says, therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fail. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. On your way in, you are handed a card. It's a nice looking card. I meant to snag one so I could show it to you. Anybody got their card? Anybody? Thanks, Trevor. This is your card right here. This is your card. If you will, go ahead and hold your card up for me. It's okay. I'm weird. You can be weird too. I've had 90 minutes of people looking at me. You can hold up the card. This card right here is actually not for you to turn in. We don't want it back. I'm not asking you to make a covenant and a commitment to volunteer. I'm not asking you to give a gift. I'm not asking you to do anything other than say, are you growing in virtue and knowledge? Are you growing in the way that Peter prescribes? Do you know Christ at all? Are you growing in your knowledge and your intimacy with Christ Jesus so that that intimacy flows out of you and is contagious? I know the Lord, and I know him deeply because of the people in my life. This guy right here, Todd Bain, led me to Christ when I was 14 years old. And I think he realized today in the atrium, meeting one of my first bosses, J.D. Richards, that I've been telling the story about Todd Bain for almost 30 years, and I'll be telling it for 30 more because he confirmed the call. He pressed so much into Jesus that he couldn't help but tell me about him. My first day at youth group, I got in a fight with the pastor's kid. Not kidding. And then three other guys jumped in. I lost. That part's not important, but the point is, he chased after people who desperately need Jesus. And that is why we confirm the call, not simply for our own edification, not simply for our own intimacy, though that would be enough, but so that the world can know the name and fame of Christ Jesus and him crucified, that they would know Jesus so that they may then know Christ crucified, so they may then know themselves redeemed by his grace through faith. So I ask you on this card, as we sing in just a moment one of my favorite songs, maybe you need to write something down on this. What do I need to confirm the call in? Am I reading enough? Am I getting involved in a life group? Am I participating fully in the life of this church? If you are from out of town, thank you so much for coming. Participate in the life of your local church. Be present in the ecclesia, the assemblance of the saints, so that you can be transformed and see those around you transformed. I'm asking you to confirm the call. I've done this a few times before because I think God's calling and he's choosing and he's equipping every last one of us at every age, at every stage. But if we do not acknowledge that call, put it somewhere we can remember, in our hearts, on your fridge, we'll lose the plot because we are prone to wander. But I don't want my needs or your needs or our thoughts or preferences to ever be magnified more than Christ himself, amen? So today, confirm the call. Be sure of your election. If you'll rise, we're gonna sing a song. I'm sure you're tired of standing by now. It's not that long. Give me a break. It's my first week. I ask you to confirm the call as we sing, Christ be magnified. Because this call is not our ambition, it is our call to mission. It is not our feelings of inadequacy, that's not the call. The call is, how do I come to love and know Christ the King more than I did yesterday? Sing with us.